this meeting of the Town of Montville Planning and Zoning Commission for July 9th, 2024. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Secretary, could you please take the roll call?
Okay. Joseph Summers.
Present.
Joshua Koblick. Joshua Koblick.
Absent.
John Polk.
Present.
Secretary John Peavis Jardins.
I am here.
Vice Person Chairman, Chairman Sarah Lundy.
She'll be
Chairperson. Okay. Well, you're here.
I'm here. Yep.
Wells Pike Vice Chairman.
Present.
John Estelle.
Here.
Isaac Tate.
Here.
And Chuck Monson.
Here.
He's here. So we have only one person absent unless they walk in.
Okay. You have a quorum. First on the agenda is the approval of the June 25th, 2024 regular meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay, the minutes have been approved. We have only one item on our agenda this evening. It is Old Business 5A. It's 24 Site 3, which is 1492 Hartford New London Turnpike, parcel ID 005-027-000, Oakdale, Connecticut. The owner applicant is Jeff Daniels for proposed processing, material storage, and equipment storage facility and associated site improvements. This application was submitted on April 10th and received the 23rd, and a decision is required or was required by June 27th. However, we were granted an extension. What should we know about this application?
Ellen Bartlett is here on behalf of the applicant, and I'll defer to her if she wants to give her presentation. And then staff, I'm sure, will have some comments for you. You have the staff's report. I don't intend to go into every and tittle of the report, but I'll hit some, I think, some high points that I think would be helpful to put this in some context. So with that, I'll hand it off to Ellen.
Good evening. My name is Ellen Bartlett. I'm with Green Site Design, and I'm representing the applicant. This is sheet one of your plans. I've just highlighted in blue the parcel that we're here tonight for. It's lot 19 of the original Lombardi Industrial Park subdivision. It consists of 5.6 acres, and it's zoned light industrial. It has 500 feet of frontage on 85, but it also has an access easement over lot 13. And lot 13 is where the indoor track is, just to get everyone oriented. But there's an access easement over that out to Sagittello Industrial Drive. So that's where we're planning on taking our access from on this site. The owner is Jeff Daniels. He also owns the parcel just to the west. It's 1502 Hartford Turnpike. What we're proposing here is a processing facility for earth materials. They'll screen and process topsoil, gravel, to be used on construction sites. It's very similar to the facility that Boys Brothers owns, which used to be Lombardi's also, but it's on a much smaller scale. The project is proposed to be built in phases. So phase one, sheet 3A, oops. Things are always a balancing act. And what we're going to do in phase one is complete the water quality basin and the forebay. There's a temporary sedimentation basin out there, which we had a zoning permit to do that and clear the site so that we could do a good survey on it. Because in the past, this site's been used by all during the development of several of the lots in Lombardi Business Park. For just that, for stockpiling materials, for processing it, and then using for construction. The last one was the track facility, all the material from there was stockpiled on here, because you don't often have room on your site during construction. So this is really just a continuance of the use. But after it sat dormant for a few years, the shrubs and the vegetation came in so thick, we wanted to go out and do a new survey. So we, the owner got a permit to clear this site and put in the temporary sedimentation basin, because once you clear it, you want that basin in place. So in phase one, the first thing is to build the access road out to Sagittarius Industrial Drive, which we've shown here. During that process, equipment will be brought on from a temporary access road from the neighboring property, which is the same ownership. And then in phase one, they're going to put in a strip of concrete blocks, storage bins. There'll be some a processing area with some stockpiling in the middle. We're putting in a couple of Connex boxes for storing equipment. There'll be a swale along the outside of the wetlands upland review zone so that stormwater running off of this site does not get into the wetlands. It'll be taken to the forebay and then to the stormwater basin. That's pretty much phase one. There's also, we're proposing to put in a curtain drain all along the back, because of all the work done here, this is just a silty, muddy area, and they really want to dry it out before they start putting in the serious work. And phase two isn't much different. Phase two is shown on sheet 3A. Also in phase one, there's going to be an evergreen buffer built along the frontage of the site, and that will be maintained in phase two. The stormwater basin and the forebay will be maintained in phase two, and those are permanent features of the project. In phase two, they want to bring in a small storage area. It'll be a modular building and a few parking spaces, a small septic system, and a well. At that point, there's two other areas where they're probably going to put some storage bins as well. Originally, the plan had, in phase two, an access drive going out to 85, but at the recommendation of staff, we took that out. It really wasn't needed because they have a good access drive out to Sagittarius Industrial Drive, and there's really good sight lines onto 85 there. And when the subdivision was done, the road was widened, so if a car stopped making a left-hand turn, there's room to get around them. So it's a much better way to get out on 85. So we eliminated that as part of the application process and review process. The operating hours are shown on the plans from Monday through Friday. It'll be 7 o'clock to 5 p.m. And then on Saturdays, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Facility won't be open on Sundays or holidays. We have a conditional approval from the Uncas Health District for the septic system. The town's consulting engineer review had a few minor comments on the drainage model, which we'll address. There's also some staff had comments that they wanted addressed. We have no problem with those. A lot of them are just errors between sheets. We've got a sheet 2, 3, 4 that kind of do the same thing, and 3A and 3B. So sometimes a note gets changed on one and isn't coordinated. So there's a lot of coordination I need to do between the plans. But other than that, there's not a lot of major changes recommended. The one recommendation that my client, Jeff Daniels, had a problem with is it asked for this temporary access drive to be eliminated and a barrier built along the property line. He does not want to do that because at this point he's got an approved site plan on the adjacent property. It's for mixed use kind of flex space where two rental buildings will be built. And when he's building this, he'll have material coming from this site to that site. Equipment will be brought back and forth between the sites. He doesn't want to have to load, a lot of the equipment's on tracks, so you can't take them out on the pavement. He'd have to load them up, drive them around, and bring them next door. So he is requesting that a barrier not be built between the two properties. Same ownership, and it will be used during the construction of this one. The site plan on this was approved in 2018, I believe. And after that, COVID hit, it's been delayed. He's been working on it, he's been grading it, but it has none of the buildings have been built yet. But he's still within the time period for an approval for a site plan. So he does intend to build on this site and finish phase one. And during that process, he will be going back and forth with materials and equipment. Other than that, I think we're in agreement with the technical reviews and the conditions of approval that are recommended.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Bartlett. Yep. Are there any questions?
I do have a question. So the on page, sheet three, you have the equipment parking and storage area. What is the size of that, and where's the runoff of that water going to go?
There is a permanent swale that's being built right outside the upland review zone. So runoff from that will go to the swale, and then out to the forebay, and then out to the stormwater quality basin. So all that water will be contained and treated. But we were asked to designate an area where equipment would be stored, and we provided a list of the equipment that he has. It's on the plans. I think I have it written down if you want to know what they'll be storing.
No, I'm just looking at the flat surface area and
trying
to determine where the runoff goes. So there's no curbing on that?
There's no pavement on this site. It's going to be all hard-packed gravel, which it is already in most areas.
So storage is hard-packed?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Yes.
Any other questions for Ms. Bartlett?
Where does the material come from?
Some of it will be predominantly imported and processed on site and then taken off site, because there isn't that much material left on here to use. It's already pretty much been removed and leveled out by past processing facilities.
Who do you anticipate as the customers of that material?
Well, Daniels and Son Construction will use it some for their projects, but they'll also be selling it to contractors.
How can we eliminate the use of the other lot at the end of phase two? We could say there's no use for it, or at the end of the, give us a time period for that easement to be used between the lots.
I think
it's in the conditions that staff has put forth in the proposal 12, third bullet. It's quite clear. Indicate 60-day temporary access drive and add that immediately upon expiration of 60-day period, a permanent physical barrier shall be installed to prohibit vehicles.
You guys have no issue with that?
We do. That was the comment I said we had an issue with.
Right, they have a problem with it.
Construction on the neighboring property, he will be accessing, processing material on this side, bringing it to there. He's not going to purchase a whole different set of equipment, so the equipment will be used on both sites. Yeah, and it's the same exact ownership.
Matt, what's the response to that?
So I want to thank you for having a special meeting, first of all. I know that's a little bit more of a burden on you. I want to thank Ellen and Jeff Daniels for coming in, I think it was April, and we sat down. So the genesis of this, just real quick, was a zoning permit had been issued for certain activities, and that expired shortly after I began employment here. At that point in time, activities were still occurring on both of the parcels, and it became evident to me that it was really unclear under what approvals, what activities were being conducted. So it was an exercise to try to basically sort out some things and come to some clarity, both for the property owner's benefit, but certainly, you know, for our benefit as well. So through that process, we identified a number of zoning permits that had been issued. Over the years, we provided that chronology in the staff's report for you, hopefully had a chance to look at that. Bonds were carried forward. Certain pre-development activities for the 2018 approval had not really been completed. For instance, the bond for that project, the zoning permit hadn't been issued. There were clearly business activities that were occurring on both of the properties. And the approval for the, call it the home lot, was issued in 2018. So you're now 6 years ahead of when that work was initiated. So with all that considered, the consensus we came to was, okay, well, let's get that 2018 approval kind of moving. Mm-hmm. And if the intention is to implement phase one of that approval with or without the buildings that were required, we can certainly accommodate if he doesn't want to build the buildings on that. But that we needed to get a CZC in place for the phase one of that 2018 approval so that he could legally operate the business pursuant to that approval on 1502 on the house lot. So that was the first part of it. And then the second part was, you know, Jeff was fortunate to be able to buy the adjacent lot, which is the subject of this application. So we said, okay, there's been a number of things that have been occurring on that lot over the years. None of them were ever really, to my knowledge, you know, closed out properly, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of this lot that was kind of beat up and left abandoned, mm-hmm. used for different purposes, legitimately, over the years. So we said, okay, well, let's get a site plan approval for that lot so we can get that lot cleaned up and get that to be, you know, a legitimate, you know, primary use, principal use permitted on that lot. So that's how we ended up with this application here. I think we've worked out, I agree with Ellen, we've worked out pretty much all the technical details that we need to. So we're left with this one issue of the kind of the collateral use, if you will, of the two lots under one ownership. We don't have any particular concerns with that, but we did want you to understand that a couple of things kind of going forward for that. Your regulations, all regulations, zoning regulations, are generally written to address uses and designs and activities and to permit them on the basis of a lot. Mm-hmm. So you have a defined property, mm-hmm. and then your job is to evaluate, and our job is to evaluate the proposed activities on that parcel and their compliance with the applicable regulations. So that's kind of the convention. When you start to kind of bring interrelationships between activities with other adjacent lots, whether they're owned or not owned by, you know, one or more of the property owners, that begins to kind of complicate, mm-hmm. compliance kind of going forward, because it makes it more difficult to track, you know, what approval is what. So part of this, I think, is to lay out the scope of the permitted uses and how this is going to go forward. So I made some notes, and I'm not going to go through these, but if you go through your zoning regulations, it'll become pretty self-evident fairly quickly that the regulations are written to regulate activities on lots. You know, phasing plans. You have erosion and sedimentation control plans that are based on a certain amount of acreage. That acreage can only really be defined by the regulated activity, typically done by a lot. So, for instance, in this case, if you have lots that are less than 1 acre and the disturbance threshold for a certified erosion control plan is 40,000, roughly an acre, builder's acre, are we dealing with two lots? And in combination, they're over that threshold, or are we dealing with one lot that's under, and then another lot that's under. So there are other implications as well in terms of access issues. One of the major kind of concerns with this particular situation was if if the southerly lot, this subject lot, is allowed to access through the home lot, call it, they'll have use of the curb cut on 85. So we can say that we're going to access, for purposes of the southerly lot, this lot, through Sagittello, as long as this interchange can happen. You know, there's a likelihood, maybe even a probability, that 85. And the site plan for the 2018 approval that you granted didn't really contemplate these relationships between the uses, because you would have evaluated the access conditions and you would have taken a look at the trip generation and the movements and you know, I'm not saying that that can't be done or that it couldn't be approved. It just wasn't part of your 2018 approval. So that's why we kind of have this little bit of a disagreement in terms of how these two operations will work. We did offer, and the offer obviously is still there, for an approval that, since Jeff owns both of them, to get them approved as one unit. And your regulations do accommodate mm-hmm. that. In fact, your definition of a lot basically says that. You know, it's one or more parcels owned, but then designed and used as one unit. So we don't have any issue with that. It's just that's not how this is presented. So that's why we came up with this separation. You know, there was the idea of the 60 days for this, to allow this, you know, interchange to kind of happen for some defined period of time. And then I inserted the physical separation part, which, you know, Jeff objects to. And I understand why he objects. It's just because of the way the regulations are structured, and I think the way that you need to kind of look at things and approve things, that was necessary. Now can we extend the time frame? You know, instead of 60 days, it's a year, or it's 6 months, or whatever. The reality is that 6 years to implement the first phase of the approval from 2018 on the adjacent lot is a long time. There were business activities that were happening on that lot. There was a sublet or some arrangement with a landscaping company that was located there. There's no CZC issued for that property based on the 2018. So, and the scope relative to phase one, let's say you take the buildings away, the new building, the 6,000 square foot building, is extremely minimal. It's something that could literally be done within a matter of, you know, 2-3 months to get that first phase done. Get the as-built, get the CZC. Okay, now mm-hmm. now we're okay for phase one and the 2018. So six years was a little, I think, excessive for that. Mm-hmm. So we don't have any objection if you want to extend that period of time to allow this interchange to happen. I think that'll help kind of move forward with getting, you know, the 2018 approval done, at least the phase one, and getting the CZC done for that. And then at that point, this subject lot here, the subject of this application, can kind of function independently with the access to Sagittello as they designed it. So maybe that's an accommodation that we could use. Mm-hmm.
Is the primary concern about the connection of the two properties about how it affects compliance for two individual lots? Or would you say it's more about entrance onto Route 85?
Well, I don't know that it's more or less of either. I think it's all. I think we would look at things kind of holistically in terms of your regulations, so we wouldn't want to parse out different pieces of it. You know, I think it's just the way that your regulations, and most regulations, any town's zoning regulations, are typically based on a lot as the unit that you're evaluating. So I'll give you another example. I don't want to belabor the point, but I think it's good to think about this thing. So we have notice requirements. Those notice requirements are based on a lot. So if you have to notify an abutter, this is just an example, or if you have there's a requirement for a notification of adjacent town if you're within 500 feet, these kinds of things. Those are due process issues that matter. So defining the lot makes a difference in a lot of different ways, not just design, but just in terms of process as well. So, you know, we can either define the site plan for the two properties together to function as a unit, Jeff controls both. That's one set of circumstances, or we can propose them as separate site plans, you know, and approve them independently, and then they can be set up to function independently.
And the applicant was opposed to doing one parcel, or one lot, rather?
Yes.
No, the applicant proposed to do it as the two, but to allow for some undefined period of time this kind of, you know, ongoing interchange between the two, because you got to understand, the statutes allow site plans a certain amount of time to be valid. So unless you, through the site plan approval process, define some parameters in terms of time frames, either through the phasing, the approval of the phasing plan, or et cetera, or in some mechanism, it's pretty wide open,
right,
and literally can go on for years. This was complicated. On top of that, this was complicated by the approval of multiple successive and kind of overlapping zoning permits that we just said, okay, time out. Let's figure out where we're at and let's get to a baseline we can all agree on and then
You know, one thing to consider is that, you know, even though he may own both parcels, nothing's to stop him from selling that other parcel tomorrow. And then if there's no barrier or screening, then it turns into an enforcement action, you know, issue with that parcel being developed, start getting complaints. So it's seen it happen.
Commissioner Longton?
So if I understand it correctly, the applicant is fine with handling it as two separate properties. Their problem is the length of time for the dual use. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think they had agreed to the 60-day limit in terms of the temporary drive connection, which implied to me that after 60 days, this need for this kind of interchange was no longer relevant. So we didn't think that having the physical barrier was an issue in that sense, because the 60-day was there. In conversations with Ellen today, you know, she advised me that Jeff had some issues and concerns about the physical barrier. Well, that is kind of curious to me, because that at least implies that if the interlot access is to go away after 60 days, why do you continue to want to have this interchange happening? And, you know, Ellen was very good in saying that, you know, well, Jeff really wants to be able to move materials and equipment back and forth between the properties. That generated the conversation about the 2018 plan and the phase one implementation and where are we with that, and it's been 6 years, et cetera, et cetera. So that's kind of, you know, our explanation.
Does the owner object to the length of time, or is it the presence of the physical barrier?
I think it was the physical barrier. I don't think it was the length of time per se.
All right, because I looked at it this way, you know, when I first read this. If I own two pieces of property, or if I owned a piece of property, the same person owns both. Right? I wouldn't want to put up a physical barrier halfway across my yard. I might want to take my wheelbarrow from one side to the other. You know, that's just for example. So, but I understand your point completely. So the question then is, does the owner have a suggestion for a different length of time that this can be put together in such a way that it will accommodate our needs and his projected needs?
I didn't discuss alternative. I just threw the 1 year out or the 6 month out just to get the conversation going on that as an option potentially. So I don't know if Ellen has anything to add. Or...
Okay, I just wanted to add a couple things. I know there's been a lot of zoning permits on this property in the past, but they had nothing to do with Jeff Daniels, the owner. He's only owned this since November of 2023. He just bought it. We developed the plans and have submitted them since he owned it. But the first thing I asked him to do is get a permit to allow us to clear this site, because I couldn't retopo it at that point. It would have taken, it was so thick, it would have taken way too much time and been too expensive. So I asked him to do that, and then we got a zoning permit. He came in, we got a zoning permit to do that, and Liz had suggested we put in the temporary sedimentation basin at that time, do a sedimentation plan. So we did that. The 60 days was fine because that was what it was going to take to build this access drive. And so at that point, this temporary access isn't really necessary. But Jeff's point is, when he works on phase one, tries to complete phase one of the approved site plan on the adjacent property, he's going to need to go back and forth. He owns both properties, and he's going to want to go back and forth with his, as you said, wheelbarrows and equipment, and not have to drive everything all the way around. I think a year might be a reasonable time.
And we can always revisit the year in advance of, you know, say you get to month 10.
Yes.
And Jeff had, you know, COVID or something, God forbid.
Yep.
We can certainly come back and revisit it, and if need be, extend it.
And that's why it's been 6 years for this, because he got it approved, the site plan next door, and then COVID hit. And I know personally that the construction industry was hit as hard as anybody, and it's set him back. By state statute, you have 9 years to complete a site plan, and I think it got extended because of COVID. I think they added a couple more years. I can't remember.
It's a mess, that statute.
It's a mess.
It is.
But 6 years is within his right to be working on this still by state statute. So, I agree with him. It doesn't make sense not to be able to go back and forth across that property line during construction. Once it's completed, the construction's completed, there's no need to do that. But during construction, absolutely. This is a site that's, he's going to process material here and bring it back and forth. They're going to share equipment because he's got equipment that he's going to use for both. So that's the only reason why we really would like more time.
So if there was a physical barrier there, he'd have to go out onto the road and go around.
And a lot of his equipment is on tracks, so you can't drive it on the on the road. You'd have to load it on a trailer and drive it all the way around.
That's extremely inconvenient.
Yeah.
It is.
Question
that's
for staff.
Why you're asking.
We don't want him doing that either. It doesn't make any sense at all. But again, given the structure of the regulations, given the way that you look at a site plan and the way that you evaluate this, we have what we have. So we're trying to kind of balance these interests and come up with a compromise solution. The other alternative, again, that we put out there, and we can't require Jeff or anyone to do this, but if he wants to come in and have a consolidated site plan approval for the two lots and implement that and manage zoning compliance going forward in that way, he's certainly free to do that. And he would have access to Sacchitello, and he could, you know, operate the two as they were one, you know, coherent unit approved as such and occupied as such.
Question for staff. Is it possible, okay, if the barrier's installed, is it possible for him to come in and get a zoning permit to temporarily move a section of the barrier so they can egress and ingress between the two properties? Then once that work is done, have it as a stipulation that the barrier be...
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and in theory, I guess it does seem like an option, but the practical reality is that I don't know how often he's going to be moving stuff around. I don't know how many trips out there we'd have to make to check and those kinds of things. So I think that the time frame and then being able to come back and revisit it and look at the progress, at that time. And he can, I hope he would maybe consider this kind of joint site plan kind of option at some point. Up to him completely, but we don't want vehicles having to go in circles around. That makes absolutely no sense.
But it's the physical barrier that forces that issue.
Well, what would happen is, see, the physical barrier part is, again, predicated on the approvals as two separate sites, which is the way that they've been presented. The 2018 approval was as a separate site.
Right, right.
Jeff didn't own the adjacent lot, the 2018 approval. The southerly lot was part of the Lombardi subdivision, so therefore that lot was set up to have access on Sacchitello. There was never contemplated interlot access between the two because Jeff's house lot was never part of the subdivision. So it was just never thought of, this interchange and the issues that relate to that, the collateral issues in terms of impact in 85 and these kinds of things, was never part of that consideration. So now we're kind of bootstrapping the house lot to the subdivision lot and trying to figure out, okay, how do we make this work in a way that works for Jeff, but that, you know, fits into the regulations.
So Jeff owns both properties.
Right.
Why not leave it to his discretion with the understanding that moving stuff from one property across the other is would not be standard procedure, but only when necessary?
No.
I'm not
during
sure that your regulations really contemplate.
During construction.
Contemplate doing that, unfortunately.
No, they're two separate permits.
They're two separate parcels.
And I'm curious why, what the applicant's aversion is to not making it one project. There must be a reason why he doesn't want to do that.
They're very separate uses.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you look at the Boys property, they've got this on their operation on six different lots.
Right.
But it's all kind of the same operation. This is going to be similar to that. It's going to be construction materials. Here he's got a permit to put up buildings that he's going to lease out. Very different, two different, very different uses. And it's called Daniels and Sons. His son is going to be working on this one more than that one. He wants to keep them separate.
Okay.
So in the future, if he ever wants to sell, his son ends up with one.
And there may be,
it makes
you know,
sense
there,
when
there
you
may
think
also
about
be, you know, there are private considerations.
Yes.
And, you know, it might have to do with financing, might have to do with family issues, might have to do with whatever, that we don't have any right to, you know.
We don't need to know that, but I'm not willing to give him a year.
No,
this guy needs to be on a tighter time frame.
That's up to the board.
I think
you know,
a year is very, very generous for something that's been going on for 6 years.
It's completely up to you. I just threw that
that's,
number out.
So I think it's reasonable, based on everything that we've heard, where if Mr. Daniels does not want to combine the lots, that there be a barrier at some point.
Oh.
You know, I think we're sort of, we're all saying the same thing, that yes,
why
if
not
it's
put
two
the barrier
separate lots.
Once construction is complete.
Oh.
No, there needs to be a timeline on this.
And what
and
happens
then
if
revisit
you sold the other lot?
Yeah.
Give him a year.
Yeah.
How long will it take to do the entrance into Sacchitello?
The 60 days we talked about is reasonable for that, to get the entrance here constructed.
So I'd say a year is overly generous.
Excuse me.
But it's not going to take 60 days to get the construction completed on the other property.
Right. Commissioner Deschardt.
Okay, we say physical barrier. Mean like a fence, or it could be permanent.
I didn't specify anything.
Okay, you know, I mean, okay.
The idea is you can't transit between properties, correct?
It could be barriers, it could be whatever.
Right, you can't transit.
If they have a fence there, and then they have a gate that's locked, and the only time you have it open up is to transport stuff there, and then you lock it up again.
But they're not allowed to do that.
And then later on, make a fence.
Well, I guess it's, we can't control gate, so it would be easier just for us, for practical purposes, and really for Jeff.
Why do you have to control the gate?
Well, the access, if there's no duration, this is the issue. The issue is you either get a site plan approved for a lot, okay, and you've evaluated that application on the basis of your regulations as it relates to the proposed uses and activities on that lot. Or they're separate operations. So what we're basically saying is, yeah, if you need some opportunity, some period of time to complete phase one of the the 2018 approval, again, 6 years old.
Yeah, but the 6 years old wasn't his problem.
Well, I don't
inherited
make,
that.
I don't want to make judgments about who shot Johnny, who shot Jill. That's not going to help us at this point. We're trying to find a path forward. That's what we're doing.
Right.
Okay? So, but we're trying to do that within the structure of your regulations. These aren't our regulations. They're your regulations. And they're very conventional, and they regulate developments and activities and uses on the basis of a lot. That's the only proper way to do it.
I agree.
Okay? So now we have an opportunity to allow him to do what he wants to do in terms of this use of this other lot for equipment and materials and back and forth in order to accommodate him to get phase one of the 2018 approval done, which, as I said, the scope of that work is very, very minimal. Okay, he's been operating the business out of the home lot for years now. There was a landscape business that was located on that property that had to be moved. There's no CZC, as I understand, issued for the use of that property based on that 2018 approval that you granted. You either have regulations and you have standards or you don't.
I'm not arguing.
Our responsibility is to administer and manage the regulations you adopt. Mm-hmm. You adopt the regulations to establish community standards. You adopt the regulations to implement your POCD. That's
right.
Your job.
So I think we're
our
just
our job is to administer the regulations. That's what we're doing, and we're trying to help him move forward in a way that accommodates his needs, but then also falls within the four squares of your regulations.
Right.
So
is it a year? Is it 6 months? Is it 2 years? Is it 3 months? I don't really care. That's up to you. You decide, come to a consensus. You can say no physical barrier.
So I believe that's what we're trying to do. We're asking for clarification on a number of items. So thank you. At this time, I think we've asked our questions. Unless I'll give everyone else an opportunity. Commissioner Poole.
We've talked about the site 1429 for its
14.
Access to the other, to the adjoining lot.
92.
It is.
1492.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What does the 505 lot, the home lot,
right,
what do they say about access through there?
Oh,
it's Jeff. 1492. What does that? Because it's shown here as a temporary access drive that would take you right out to 85. But what did their permit say?
Well, are you talking about 1502, the other property?
1502. I think it's talking about 1502. So, I mean, it's an excellent point to bring up, and I apologize. I don't mean to get upset, but we work every day very hard to help people, and I mean that sincerely. And we're trying to help Mr. Daniels in this situation and trying to make an accommodation within the regulations that we have. That's all I'll say for that. So getting to this question, technically, if I wanted to be, or the staff wanted to be difficult, okay, we would require him to modify his 2018 site plan approval to do exactly what Commissioner Poole is saying. We're not doing that. We're not even suggesting that he do that. But we could do that. We could say that this interlot access was never contemplated in your 2018 site plan approval. You've got to modify your 2018 site plan approval. Did we do that? No, we didn't do that. So again, we're trying to help and trying to make an accommodation. I think we've come up with a good solution, and I think you can come up with a time frame that you feel comfortable with. We'll move him forward. He can post his bond for the site plan that we presume you're going to approve one way or another tonight. Mm-hmm. He can get his zoning permit. He can move forward with implementation of that site plan. He can finish up phase one, get a CZT for his 2018 plan, and we'll revisit it after 6 months or whatever time frame you have.
any final questions?
I guess my only comment is the proposal was written for 60 days, which I understand. You've explained well. I guess my only comment is that it's for us to sit here and say, well, he needs, you know, 60 days, 90 days, five and a half weeks. It really is kind of like pulling something out of a jar. It's kind of a guess, pulling a ticket out of a jar and see what it is, a lottery ticket. So I don't know if it's even remotely rational for us to say he has a year or 6 months. I don't know if we have enough information. Like, does he have a time frame when he plans on doing this, or is it just going to be something he's going to dabble in when he gets a chance occasionally? I mean, I think that's what the commission needs to understand, you know, that the process going forward, so we can make, if we have to make a decision on a time frame director, at least we have something of merit to work on, some facts.
Right, and the only thing I can respond to is Ellen Bartlett is his agent, his professional agent. She indicated she felt that a year would be, you know, sufficient. I think, I don't recall the exact wording that she used, but that's the only thing I can offer, is she's his duly appointed agent, and if she says a year, then I have to go on that. I mean, it's 6 months. I don't know. You could ask her if she thinks that's sufficient, but that's all I have.
Ms. Bartlett, would you like to make a recommendation for a time frame on behalf of your client?
I would recommend a year. I think I stated that a little earlier, but I would recommend a year. It just gives them time. Mm-hmm. It's summer now, but winter's coming. A year gives them next spring and summer to work on it also.
Okay. Thank you. All right, at this time, there is a suggested motion.
Madam Chair?
Yeah, we do.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Would it be possible to modify that the physical barrier thing to say that it has to be put up unless the applicant comes back at the end of the period and requests an extension?
That's reasonable. Okay. Matt, would you suggest that we read the entire motion?
No.
Thank you. I want to get home tonight.
So on page 7, are the conditions to be met prior to the signing of plans on 12? In bullet 3.
Yep.
So the 60-day access.
It would say that immediately upon expiration of 1 year, I guess, a permanent physical barrier shall be installed.
But the access drive is still 60 days, though, right?
Well, I guess no. I guess
I wouldn't even bother.
Access drive would be a year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you want to say as of this date? So it's very clear when the 1 year starts.
We could do from date of approval.
Date of approval.
Could I say one more thing? I'd forgotten. One of the conditions said that in my narrative, I mentioned an oil separator, and there was no oil separator shown. That should come out of the text. There is no oil separator proposed. It was in the text, and it just got stuck there.
Yeah,
so I'll correct that. But
that's just a, I can call it a scribbler error.
It's just coordinating plans.
So bullet 3 and bullet 4?
Mainly bullet 3.
No.
Well, bullet 4 would stay, but bullet 3 would kind of qualify bullet 4.
Okay.
Right.
Bullet 3 would say indicate 1 year temporary access drive and add and note that immediately upon the expiration of a 1 year period, a permanent physical barrier, yada yada. I think that'll do it. Okay?
Yes.
Would anyone like to make the motion with the amendments that we just discussed?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Okay, first and seconded by Commissioners Longton and Stell. Any discussion?
You don't have to read it.
Does everyone need a moment to read through it, or?
We're at 1 year.
Yep.
As of date of approval.
Yep.
Yes.
Yes.
But we encourage the applicant to be prompt in his
development of the home lot and thereby remove the
bone of the contention.
Mr. Secretary, could you please take a roll call vote?
Okay. Roll call vote. Joseph Summers.
In favor.
In favor. He's not here. John Pohl.
In favor.
John Discharge. In favor. Sarah. Oh, you're going to do last. Okay. Wells Pike.
Favor.
John Estelle.
In favor.
Eddie Tate.
In favor.
Chuck Lockton.
In favor.
And Chairperson London.
In favor.
Okay, we're all in favor.
Okay, the motion passes. Thank you very much. You're very welcome.
Move we adjourn.
No, we have to see everything else. Okay.
Okay, motion. So that brings us to the end of the meeting. Would somebody like to make a motion to adjourn?
So be it.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you.
So be it.
Let me know when the tickets. I got them right now.
You do?
Yeah, I got a ticket.
Work looks good, though.